This morning in our passage, we're probably coming to a bit of a turning point in Ecclesiastes. So far, the teacher has been fairly downbeat. At times, he has been low about life, and his attitude has been cynical, critical, even despairing. However, after chapter 9, he seems to brighten up a wee bit, you'll be glad to know. He gains a more positive outlook on life and on his faith. Note, I say after chapter 9, because this morning as we delve into this passage, it seems to be as gloomy as it gets. So with that in mind, first off, let me ask you a question. Do you remember the first funeral that you ever went to? Do you remember who it was? Do you know what you were feeling as you had this first contact with death? Do you remember what age you were and what you understood about it? I remember my first funeral. I was 10. And it was my granddad Joe, and he had died. And to be honest, my main memory is of the rain on that day. It absolutely poured. And somehow it seemed appropriate. It was a terrible day. Bereavement is something that we all have to cope with, and death is something that we all have to face, one of life's only certainties. We know death will come, just not how and when, and so there's uncertainty amidst the certainty. And so the teacher, Qohelet, starts off by telling us that we have no way of knowing what lies ahead of us, and now we struggle with this, don't we? No one knows what tomorrow will bring, and it drives us crazy. That's why people troop to fortune tellers, to spirit guides. It's why people read the horoscopes. They are desperate to know what is coming. We all like to know what's in front of us. But Solomon tells us that even the righteous and the wise don't know whether love or hate lies before them. In other words, you can't predict how people are going to react and respond to you. That's what he's saying here. You maybe had an experience, or you've experienced the pain of a broken marriage. You didn't expect it. You couldn't have predicted it. But the most important relationship in your life went sour. Or maybe you've severed a friendship. Someone you once called a close friend is more like an enemy now. Perhaps you no longer speak to your brother, your sister, your cousin, your mother, or your father. One day a disagreement arose unexpectedly, and your relationship has never recovered. On the other hand, perhaps you've experienced some kindness from someone you least expected it to come from. Perhaps you've had a problem and you find comfort and support from someone that you would never have ever dreamed of. Maybe you have thought badly of someone for years, and one day they surprise you by turning up on your doorstep, and you realize that you didn't actually know them at all. You just don't know whether love or hate awaits you. Life is unpredictable. There will be shocks ahead. There is so much of life that no one has any control over. Sometimes it's tempting to look at other people's lives and think, they have it all worked out, don't they? You might read the celebrity magazines and even watch the sport on TV, and if only you had their money. If you only had their talent or their skill, I'm thinking of Cristiano Ronaldo here, or their house, or their body, or their family, or their sporting skill, then life would be sorted, wouldn't it? But the reality is that all these things just provide the illusion of security and predictability. They don't really provide anybody with true assurance. The teacher tells us that no matter what our circumstance, we are all in the same boat. The good and the evil, the rich and the poor, those who are religious, those who aren't, those who are upright and honourable, those who lack enough integrity even to make a promise, never mind keep it. We all face the same lot. This came home to me recently as I was watching the news. It was reported on Prince Philip's retirement from public duties. This is exactly what the teacher is talking about. For all his wealth, privilege, he is now experiencing some of the challenges of age, challenges that come to us all. And despite the greatness of her surroundings and her power, the Queen, like many wives, must watch her husband become older and frailer as she becomes older and frailer herself. How many of you have been in that situation? One day, even the Queen will mourn the death of her husband, or given the unpredictability of life, he may mourn her. As the teacher says, this comes to us all. You don't know when or where or why, but you do know that one day death will come and it won't leave anybody out. You can drink 2 liters of water. You can eat your 5 a day, or 7 these days. You can take your vitamins. You can fill your diet with beetroot, spinach. You can do all these things, but guess what? You're still going to die. This is a fact that we don't like, and neither does the teacher in the passage. His view of death is completely bleak. He certainly doesn't seem to hold anything like a Christian worldview. He basically says that in our lives, our hearts and our actions are full of evil and madness, and then we die and off. Not a lot of hope or cause for joy, is there? The teacher here makes the connection between sin and death. We die because of sin. Our sin separates us from the living God, and so we die. Like Paul says, the wages of sin is death. You live a meaningless life full of sin and chaos, and then you will die the end. What a depressing outlook. Why did I come here this Sunday morning? But you know, when you think about it, this is actually the worldview that most people hold. If you're not a Christian, if you don't have faith in Jesus, this is all you've got. A meaningless life in an evil, broken, sinful world, and then an abrupt end, and it was all for nothing. This is what causes the teacher to say that a living dog is better than a dead lion. For people at the time, this would have been a stark contrast. Then a dog was the lowest of the low. It was usually a scruffy, mangy animal. Meanwhile, a lion considered the most noble of beasts. In the preacher's eyes, almost anything is better than death. Better to be the lowest of the low and be alive than noble but dead. This view is a far cry from Paul's proclamation that to live is Christ and to die is gain. That being said, it is true that the living have hope while the dead know nothing, in a spiritual sense anyway. The Bible teaches us that we're all spiritually dead. Dead in our transgressions. We read this from Ephesians 2 at the start of our service. You were dead in the trespasses and sins which you once walked. While we are in sin, we are dead. Now as the teacher rightly says, if you're dead, you know nothing, you're blinded. If you're dead, you are dead. If you're dead, you are not aware of anything God is doing. If you're dead, you don't look to God for hope. If you're dead, you don't seek God. If you're dead, you don't repent. That opportunity has gone. You don't do anything. Dead people don't reach out to Jesus. He reaches out to us. Dead people don't choose to live for Christ. Dead people don't give their lives to Jesus. The teacher is right. The dead have no hope. Well, no hope apart from Jesus. Take the example from our first reading this morning. Luke 7. The widow of Nain. Her life had been torn apart. It had been turned absolutely upside down. And we've just been thinking about how life is unpredictable. She had lost her only son. She was at the funeral of her boy. Her life was wrecked, and not for the first time. She was, after all, a widow. She had been there before. She had buried her husband, and now she was about to bury her son. This was a terrible day. It was an awful day. You will have terrible days. Unexpected days when life takes a turn for the worst. And the thing is, the more people that you love, the more of these days you will have. Your life will be wrecked over and over again. And as the teacher tells us, there's nothing you can do to control it or predict it. The widow was devastated. Her only son was dead. No husband, no family, no one to look after her in years to come. Her situation was hopeless. And so she thought Jesus had other plans. Verse 13 is an absolutely amazing wee verse. When the Lord saw her, he had compassion. We read her, his heart went out to her. And he said to her, do not weep. It's a tiny verse, but when you read it, you know something amazing is going to happen. Jesus approaches the boy and simply says, young man, arise. And her son, who was dead, sits up. Her day was transformed. What was once a terrible day was now full of joy. Her life had been changed. What was once a bleak, hopeless future was now full of hope and joy. Who could have predicted that? Jesus literally reaches into death and brings life. Now the son was dead. He was not reaching out to Jesus. And there are many recorded incidents of the sick or the lame, people crying out to the Lord for help. This is not one of them. In this passage, her son was not sick. Her son was dead. He knew nothing. He was not in search of a solution to his situation. He did not choose to live again. No, he knew nothing, and he did nothing. Jesus did it all. This is just like us. None of us have chosen Jesus. We are dead in our sin. We knew nothing. Teacher is right. In death there is no hope. No hope outside of Christ. But Jesus brings life. He reaches out to us. Jesus transforms our hopeless situations. He makes brothers from enemies. He draws in those who are far off. The widow and her son, two lives changed. Physically, we are all going to die, but when we have been made alive in Christ, death has lost its sting. Because of his power over death, we go to be with him. Our souls never die nor sleep. I wonder how your life would change if you knew the day and the hour of your death. If we knew the exact time, if we all had watches ticking down to that time, would we live life very differently? Would we try and squeeze as much life in as we could until that time? Would we live with much more urgency and enthusiasm? Would we? No. No. Yes. Some people would. If we knew the exact time of our deaths, would we work harder and try to achieve as much as we could? Would we love the people around us better so that they really knew how we felt? Will we leave nothing undone or unsaid? But we don't know when this day will come. We don't know the exact time, and so we have almost fooled ourselves into believing that we have an infinite amount of time. We don't live with that urgency. The teacher has amazing insight into this. He realizes that because we don't know the hour of our deaths, we tend to only half live our lives. We let opportunities pass by and therefore end up with a pile of should have, could have, would have regrets. He observed this in life. And so he gives us some advice on how we should live life with our loved ones. Enjoy life with the loved ones you love. He tells us, recognize your opportunities to share in meetings with your friends and your loved ones. Be merry in heart, he says, and enjoy yourself. Now, we're not talking about gluttony, drunkenness, or laziness here. Solomon also tells us that we should work hard, and we're not talking about an out-of-control party. We're talking about those occasions when you get together with friends or family, and you have a good time. You get to eat nice food, share your news. When you laugh over old memories and create new memories, have enjoy whatever blessings God has granted to you. That's what the teacher is getting at. He goes on to say, let your garments always be white and let oil not be lacking on your head. Now, some people miss the point here. They take this verse out of context and think that it's all about purity. Of course we should be pure, but here, but the context is of enjoying the time you have with your loved ones. White is cool. Not in a cool type way, but cool as in heat white. You probably need that. On a hot day, a white shirt will help you keep cool. White is also the colour of celebration. On the day of her wedding, the bride will wear a white dress, in part to reflect the purifying work of Christ for his church. However, it remains a celebration. If you have been invited to a white tie event, you will know that this means something special. A white tie is for more special occasions, even than a black tie. Let your garments always be white. Take care of your appearance. If you're with your loved ones, make an effort. Men, I'm speaking to the men here. If you're taking your wife out for the night, guess what? Spruce up. Always let your head be anointed with oil. Make sure you smell nice. The teacher was writing in the context of his day. Context of his day that was hot and sticky. He is telling his readers to make sure they don't smell. This is good advice. Your life is short, it's vapor, so look after yourself. But at the same time, don't get obsessed with your appearance. Don't become vain and filled with pride. But do show others that they are important to you by making an effort to spend time with them. Ecclesiastes chapter 9 is very practical. It doesn't get more practical than that, does it? Really, the underlying message of all of this is that we need to live our lives wholeheartedly, with commitment and with a bit of drive. Life is short, it's unpredictable, you never know what's going to happen. We need to be sure that we are investing our time well in the things that are important, not the things that are meaningless. And as I was studying for this morning, it struck me what the teacher is saying is so foreign to what our mindsets can be within the church. Sometimes we have the impression that it is wrong to enjoy the many blessings God has given us. We act like it is more holy to abstain from anything that will bring us joy and pleasure. There is, of course, time for that. There's time for sacrifice. But there is also time for showing our gratitude to God for the gifts he has given us just by enjoying them. If you bought someone a gift and it lay in a corner of their house untouched, maybe unopened, you would probably feel a wee bit miffed, wouldn't you? Life in this broken world is full of meaningless, but within it, God has given us great gifts to enjoy. The message here is, you don't know what's around the corner, so enjoy these gifts while you have the opportunity, and love and bless others while you can. All of this has even greater meaning when we consider Jesus. We do not know when our days here will come to an end. That is uncertain. But because of Jesus, those of us who are Christians have much that we can be certain about. Life is unpredictable, but God is faithful and unchanging. Because Christ has dealt with death, we know that no matter what comes, we have nothing to fear. For us, it is not the end. That is an even greater freedom in this, and an even greater reason to live this short life, this unpredictable life, with as much joy as you can muster. For the Christian, eternity starts when you put your hope and trust in Him. Jesus reaches into death, He brings life. For the widow of Nain, He turned mourning into dancing. For the son, He turned death to life. This is the hope of the gospel. New life in Jesus, life in His fullness. This is what we cling to in the unpredictability of life and the true certainty of death.